Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We're back with more. Bob Pompiani, flanked by Jason Mackey today. Jason in for Joe Starkey, who's enjoying a day off. Got some Twitter stuff going on. You can hit us up. Is yours just strictly at Jason Mackey, Jason?
At J Mackey PG.
J Mackey PG. Well, mine is at KD Pomp. There's always a trick involved with these things, and the underscore always screws me up. When I see that, then I don't know how to respond to it because it never shows up. Anyway, we go to our Twitter bag and we see a lot of interesting takes here. Jeffrey Teverbutt says, on your topic for MVP, Barkley should get it. So back in the 80s and 90s, running backs were celebrated for getting 1,000 yards, top set a series of special cards. Now we devalue anyone over 1,000, but he's over 2,000. Then you have Dan Miller, who says, nobody cares about MVP other than football teams. What are we doing here with this team? Which leads us to our next comment, and I assume he's talking
about... Nobody cares about MVPs. Yeah, definitely.
Other football teams, what are we doing here? He wants to know what we're doing here, so we'll talk about what we're doing here. We got the Steelers in a funk, 0-3 in this three-game stretch. I knew, and I think you probably had the same feeling, Jason, that at the beginning of this season, they had an opportunity to, you know, make a pretty good run to start the season, take advantage of a weaker schedule, and they did. They got off to 10-3. We knew about those three games, but I don't know if you thought they're going to lose all three. I was thinking 1-2 at the time would be good. That's back at the beginning. When they came 10-3, I thought it was feasible to think they could win two of those three. But to go 0-3 and the way they've done it, which, you know, breakdowns defensively all over the place, guys running over, finger pointing ensues. Not a good look for a defense that is supposed to be the strength of this team.
Yeah, I think context matters here, Bob. Again, if you would say the Steelers are 10-6 at the beginning of the season, I don't think anybody would have been upset at that. Mm-mm. But it's based on how the journey has gone. This team showed us more. We adjusted expectations. The offense showed us more, and it went away. I don't think anybody prior to this season would have said George Pickens is that important. I mean, you know he's important. You know he's a good player. But you don't realize that the entire operation's basically crumbles to you know what if they don't have him. And it exposed, I think, a season-long search for the number two wide receiver. They didn't get that done. The offensive line started well, and then at the worst possible time, that group crumbled. The defense is obviously a separate discussion, but I look at, you know, one of those three games, they should have been able to pull something out. If you go 1-2, I don't think the vitriol is there. You know, if you lose the first two and you're able to handle Baltimore, or the Chiefs on Christmas, excuse me, I mean, that gets you out of it. All you got to do is win one of those three games. And, yeah, I think because of the context and, you know, the defense, the communication issues, guys running wide open. I mean, why is Justin Watson, no offense, Justin Watson, what a good dude and a good family, but, like, he shouldn't be catching 50-yard passes on you. You know, it's just tight end should not be all alone in the end zone with defensive backs looking at each other confused. That doesn't make sense.
No, and that happened in the Baltimore game with Mark Andrews. That happened with Travis Kelce, who can't run anywhere near the way he used to run, but somehow
he can catch a ball and there's nobody within 10 yards of him.
It makes no sense, and that has to change. There's no question about it. That has to change. On the offensive side, a lot of debate already, and people like to, you know, sometimes I believe it's best just to let it play out and make a decision afterwards. And I maintain that when you're talking about a position as important as quarterback. Because you don't, you know, when Justin Fields is 4-2, people want to sign him. How much can you get him? 6 years, $150 million. Now, all of a sudden, that may change. Russell Wilson starts with a bang. All of a sudden, you're going to sign him for another. But age matters in this. Performance in critical games matters in this. Statistics, specifically metrics when it comes to quarterback play, matters in this. I look at this quarterback situation as still very much in flux and very much up in the air. I'm not sure what they are going to do, to be honest. I don't know they know what they're going to do at this point.
Bob, you can't tell people to not react midstream. We're going to be out of jobs.
No, I understand, but you also can sound, if you look back, how many people wanted Justin Fields to be signed right then and there?
I know.
And I don't know him. That still may be the right call.
Yeah, I mean, that's been happening for longer than I've been on this earth, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, we don't know. We need a season's worth of information. We've seen a lot of good with Russ. We've seen some bad with Russ. I don't know where this is going to end.
Age factors into this.
I mean, we could take this discussion bigger, and I think you need to look at the entire Steelers season this way. Like, right now, people are screaming, blow this up, fire Mike Tomlin, trade everybody, it's all terrible. If you win a playoff game, is it going to be the same sort of sentiment? Maybe not. Maybe not on the inside. I think that's going to let some people breathe easier. Certainly, if you go on a run, it's going to change things. But as it pertains to Russ, I want to see what he can do with Pickens now for a little bit of time. I mean, obviously, you're only guaranteed two games. But are they able to conjure up what they had earlier this season, or was that a mirage? You know, when you've got no excuse of a defense, I mean that on the Steelers' side, the Bengals are not good in the secondary. If nothing else, the Steelers should be able to move the ball through the air, and you can see what you have in the passing game, and then make an informed decision. But yeah, you got to wait. It's just tough.
No, it is, but you may also have to just figure out the entire position and go to the draft if necessary, but I don't know if they're going to be in position to do that.
You also have to know what Russ wants. Like, we're saying this from the outside, saying, you know, oh, this amount of money, these years, these dollars, we don't know. You know, if Russ says, hey, I like it here, my wife's rich, you know, I want to finish my career here, I feel like I can win, you know, he's not going to be this overt saying it, but I'm like, you know, if it comes out for 3 years and $45 million, somebody on the outside's probably like, yeah, that's a great deal. But $100 million over three, you're probably saying that's overrated. We just don't know where Russ's line is. Right now.
Well, I do know what he said earlier, that he thinks he can play till 45. That was way back in the preseason. And
I don't know about that.
No. I just look at examples like Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, and I need to know that age and father time doesn't lose too much. You know, you get to a certain point, and it's just difficult. That's no disrespect to him. I think he has been a professional quarterback who has made a difference on this team right now, but how many more years can you expect that? Or if I threw this at you, Justin Fields is 25, soon to be 26, I think, if I'm right, in a different situation other than Chicago, which was a revolving door of head coaches and coordinators, and I think they are doing to him what they're doing right now to Caleb Williams, which is screwing him up.
Yep.
Now in a different system, it changes, and I think we've seen progress. How much more progress can you see, and are you willing to bet that you could take it to another level and he becomes the quarterback of the future?
I'm not willing to make that bet. If you ask me, am I going to take Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, I'm taking Russ.
If the money's what you suggest, over $100 million?
Oh, no, not for $100 million. No, if it was $100 million, if Russ wanted $100 million 3 years, I'd tell him, thank you very much. Appreciate your service. We're going another. At that point, I would look at Justin Fields. I'm saying if the money is reasonable with Russ, and maybe not 15 per, I'm just saying, you know, somewhere between those two numbers, I'm probably leaning toward Russ. I think there's more. I don't think he's washed. I don't think this season has been an accurate representation of what he can do, meaning like the offensive line has struggled at times, Pickens going down. I don't think Artie Smith has had the best year play calling. I mean, Russ has not been without blame as well. I mean, he's held onto the ball too long. Mm-hmm. The mobility isn't what it once was. There have been too many turnovers lately. I get all that. They're not an adequate number two wide receiver. Like, that's not on Russell Wilson. That's not even on Arthur Smith or Mike Tomlin. That's on Omar Khan. I don't think we've got the fullest picture of Russell Wilson, and if the numbers are reasonable, again, I've seen enough with the intangibles and what he brings to this offense, the level at which he's able to operate, and frankly, Pomp, what else is out there? Where else they could go? Yeah, you could go in the draft, but that's going to compromise your development or depth at another position. I would rather see them go defensive line, wide receiver, running back, something like that in the draft and not have to go with the quarterback, because frankly, I don't like this class of quarterbacks all that much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what you're going to get in the quarterback department. I mean, I look at Jaden Daniels, and I see a guy who just is so poised, handles it beautifully. Then I look back over the years of so many busts, the Trey Lance. You know, I bring this up because last night watching Brock Purdy, and they're talking about money for Brock Purdy. A lot of people are anti-big money for him only because of where he was a Mr. Irrelevant. He was all the way down. It was Trey Lance that year who was supposed to, and then they gave a lot up to get that position. Total bust, hasn't played at all, even with Dallas, which is surprising. I thought he might get some sort of chance there. Now, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, and you can speculate all you want. You can have all the information and intel you want. You don't know. You brought up something there with Arthur Smith. I would like to see more variety. To me like, even, you know, from Matt Canada, his presence was immediately welcome. Like, okay, this is different. But now it's gotten kind of stale to me. There are a lot of boundary passes. We don't utilize, and I've been saying middle of the field all year, and I believe it. I watch enough football. I'm sure you do too, and our callers do. You see guys doing cross, different kind of Detroit's probably the upper echelon team with Ben Johnson as their coordinator, coming up with things that, man, just keep everyone engaged and on their toes on a defense.
Pump, I think that's a way, too, of, one, protecting against a young offensive line, get the ball out of there quick. I don't know whether it's not possible with Russell Wilson because of his height, not possible with the Steelers because of their wideouts. Either way, I mean, that is a vastly underutilized schematic thing. I'm glad I'm like pointing at you and cheering as you say Detroit. That's exactly who I think of. Somebody running these choice routes, pick routes, you know, use scheme, set picks for guys, mm-hmm. and create open space.
They scored a touchdown on a hook and lateral last night. And it wasn't like an end of game scenario. No. They did it, you know, just regular play.
Saint but Brown I'm not even talking
to
about
Williams, and it was just executed beautifully. But they did that earlier this year too, so they haven't. It's not like it was a new thing for them,
right?
They've utilized that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, instead we're looking at first down, run straight ahead between the tackles. Second down, run straight ahead between the tackles. Third and eight. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen now. You have to go max protect with your quarterback. You're trying to throw a moon ball. If your offensive line isn't blocking anybody, which Dan Moore hasn't really done of late.
Leads the NFL in sacks allowed.
Yeah. And down goes Russ, and they punt. Like, this is not a complicated formula. How about what you're talking about on first and second down, Pomp? Some crossing routes, some misdirection, that sort of stuff. If you get the third down, maybe it's third and two. A little more manageable.
The other thing is Arthur Smith came as a big proponent of tight end play, and yet I don't know that I've seen enough development or targets, first of all, to Freiermuth. To me, he's pretty sure hand. I know he fumbled in the last game, but, I mean, you throw him the ball, he's normally going to catch it. I would expect him to get more targets. It has happened, I guess, of late, but it should be even more throughout the course of the year. And I don't know who else has developed in that. You know, they have Connor Hayward, who is just sort of lost in there. I never really see him involved. Darnell Washington was targeted a few times. That's dropped off.
Yeah.
Michael Pruitt is the guy who's getting most of the activity in there. And I don't know. It just seems to me that I expected more that game plan.
I mean, you're right, Pomp. And you know what I think about with Arthur Smith and a lot of coaches? This goes across sports, really. If you're an offensive coach or a coach in general, you should be able to bring the most out of your play. You should be able to help those guys reach a level of production that they didn't think they could get. You can bring the most. That has not come close to happening with the Steelers. It's gone the opposite direction. A lot of guys have shown previously that they're better, and they've regressed. I mean, I'm not saying that's reason enough to fire Arthur Smith. It's not. But I don't look at this year for him and what he's done and say it's a smashing success. I mean, I'd give him maybe a C. Maybe C minus, something like that. I mean, they're scoring more points. I get that. I just don't think it's been, you know, nearly as good as I hoped.
Well, they're going to have to score more points this week. Again, they did in Cincinnati when they got 44. You may need that because Burrow's going to light it up. I don't think there's any way to totally stop that dude. We'll talk more about that coming up. We'll also expand the conversation to the Penguins. At what time is Matt coming on?
1 o'clock. Yep.
Matt Venzel of the Post-Gazette. We have a lot more in store for you. Call us at 412-928-9370. Also, listen to Starkey's show here every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at 937thefan.com contesting page. And yesterday, of course, we had the Mike Tomlin press conference. It's supposed to be on Tuesdays, but when they play on Saturdays, it becomes Mondays. When the game's not on Sunday, it's Saturday, Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Monday. So it's brought to you by your local Parmar stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmar store near you, there will be soon. We're going to take a break. We have an update coming up from Seth Meyers. More calls on the way at 412-928-9370. Pomp and Joe Show with Jason Mackey in studio today continues right after this.
With your fan headlines, this is Sean Meyers.